I'm going to offer a little different perspective on this than what we typically learn when we're in Sunday school. But I'll start by reading the scripture, and then we'll go from there. So, verse 30 of Mark 6. Then the apostles gathered to Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said to them, "Come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while." For there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. So they departed to a deserted place in the boat by themselves. But the multitudes saw the departing, and many knew him and ran there on foot from all cities. They arrived before them and came together to him. And Jesus went, when he came out, saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them, because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. When the day was not far spent, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and already the hour is late. Send them away, that they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat." But he answered and said to them, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give them something to eat?" But he said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." And when they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then he commanded them to make them all sit down in groups on the small green grass, on the green grass. So they sat down in ranks in hundreds of 50s. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and 2 fish, he looked up to heaven, blessed and broke the loaves, and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fish he divided among them all. So they ate and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of fragments and of fish. Now, those who had eaten the loaves were about 5,000 men. So, I want to kind of just give a background on the scripture. This is one of the only accounts of a miracle by Jesus that is found in all four Gospels. The other miracle found in all four Gospels is the resurrection. And what's interesting is when you look at this, in Matthew 14:21, we see that the words are said that, indicating more than 5,000 were fed, that it was 5,000 men besides women, children. So it wasn't. So this even makes it a bigger miracle. So I want to take this further than just the miracle of this story. When we're kids, this is what we usually focus on, the miracle. But we know God is creator. God is giver of life. And I refer back to some scripture. I looked at Jeremiah's prayer. And this is in Jeremiah 32:17. He says, "Ah, sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you." And I think of Revelation 1:8. "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty." We know God created the world. We know God gave us life. God gave us a Savior. He knows the beginning and the end. This is no miracle that's too small for him. He could do anything. But as we read this, I want to step farther into the scripture and look at the compassion of Jesus, look at the provision of Jesus, and look at the satisfaction that we could find in Jesus. And so I want to step away from the scripture just to read something briefly. And I'm sure this is something that we've all, read before. It's D.L. Moody. And the title of it is called Moody Saw Souls. When Dwight L. Moody was in London during one of his famous evangelistic tours, several British clergymen visited him. They wanted to know how and why this poorly educated American was so effective in winning throngs of people to Christ. Moody took the 3 men to the window of his hotel room and asked each in turn what he saw. One by one, the men described the people in the park below. Then Moody looked out the window with tears rolling down his cheeks. "What do you see, Mr. Moody?" asked one of them, of the men. He said, "I see countless thousands of souls that will one day spend eternity in hell if they did not know or find the Savior. Obviously, D.L. Moody saw people differently than the average observer does, because he saw eternal souls where others saw people strolling in the park. Moody approached life with a different agenda. And this kind of ties in to what I want to talk about, the component of compassion. I guess I should first recap the story. We know that Zach said that the disciples that came back and they were going with the Savior to tell their stories about their ministry. And as they left, we find in the scripture that the people followed them. And we saw in the video what happened. You know, he spent the day teaching about the kingdom, healing, and they were hungry. And then near that end came time to eat. And they basically asked what we do. And, you know, do we go buy bread? Do we send them away? And Jesus says what? He says, feed them. And he blesses them. The miracle. He blesses them. You know, I find it strange as I think about this. It seems like all throughout the Gospels, until after the crucifixion and they saw the nail-scarred hands, the disciples didn't always get who Christ was. They were standing in the presence of God in the flesh, and they didn't realize what they had. And so the food was blessed, and people ate, and we saw that they had plenty. And I find it interesting that, he not only did he provide for them, he found provisions for later. And I will talk about this, about the 12 baskets. You find it strange that there's 12 disciples and there's 12 baskets with the bread, the cracker, and the pickled fish. So, I just want to, step into the compassion that we see with Moody here. Moody's agenda was a kingdom agenda. Jesus' agenda was a kingdom agenda. Okay? So when we look at the compassion of Jesus, we see in Mark 6:34, Jesus saw the crowd. He placed emphasis on the crowd's need for a shepherd. What does a shepherd do? Protects and leads the flock and provides, right? And that's what Jesus was. We see this all throughout Scripture. We look at Ezekiel 34:5. I had more verses, but I had to cut this down just to illustrate this point. In Ezekiel 5:34-5, the last part, we see, my sheep wandered through all the mountains and on every high hill. Yes, my flock was scattered over the whole face of the earth, and no one was seeking or searching for them. It's ironic, Jesus saw a need, compassion. He just didn't see a need for food. He saw spiritual, he saw eternal matters. The apostles viewed the situation kind of like we all would. Hey, do we have enough chairs in the church? Do we have enough food? Do we need to go to the store? This was God with them. And, Hebrews 4:11 tells us, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Not only does Jesus see the situation, he is God. We see this in John 1. And he is God in the flesh, and he is human. He knows what it's like to be tired. He knows what it's like to be hungry. He has compassion on us. So he sees that the crowd's needs were met, being a sign of his compassion. And I have a quick story that I discussed with Zach, and I thought about this. When you read the story about the woman at the well, what do we see? We see a Samaritan woman, and this wasn't appropriate for Jesus to be talking to her. She's a woman. She's a Samaritan. And what were the disciples were doing? They were going off to what? Get food for their journey. And he saw a need. He was compassionate. He saw a need. He stepped aside to this woman who, like all of us, we're all sinners. And he had compassion on her. And I liken this to kind of this situation here. They saw a bunch of people who were coming to see healings and be fed and whatever, and they just saw things in the physical matters. Zach preached about the boat. I believe that at the sermon about the boat. Excuse me if it wasn't you, but there was a sermon about the boat, and we know what was Jesus doing. Yeah, he was sleeping, and we know that the disciples were forced. They were focusing on what? The storm. They didn't realize they had God in the flesh in the boat with him. And he spoke the storm quiet. So, we see that he knows what it's like to be human, and he sees things differently than we do. And now in Mark 6:39-40, then he commanded them to make them all sit down in groups on green grass. So they sat down in ranks in hundreds and fifties. He's a God of order. He commanded them. They sat down. I can't imagine what that was like to deliver that food. And he's also the sovereign shepherd. We see in Mark 6:41-42. And when he had taken the five loaves and the two fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the two fish he divided among them all. And like I said, we see that he provided the food, and he had compassion on him with that. The question is that I have for everybody during this segment here is, do we see others as Christ, or do we view situations in life in a manner similar to the apostles? And I know as we get caught up in life that I am absolutely guilty of leading, having a Christian perspective. I had this discussion with a person recently, and the scripture came to my mind. Somebody you don't like, or whatever the reason is, there's not a connection there. But we are still sinners. God died for us, and we're all sinners. God loves them, and that's hard to remember. But we see this with Jesus' compassion. So then we move on to the second thing I'd like to address, and that Jesus is the provider. We see in the first Mark 6:31, he said, "Come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while, for there were many coming and going, and they did not have time to eat." So, Jesus was thinking about the rest that they need. I think about the moment in the boat when they were going across the sea. He was tired, and he laid his head down on the pillow. We know he's tired. When he would want to get away, he would go away to the mountain to away to pray. He saw there was rest. But what's strange in this matter, well, actually, there's another verse I want to read here. Matthew 11:28. "Come to me, all you who are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Another example in Scripture where he refers to the rest we need. He not only provides them rest physically, he provides us rest spiritually. I mean, I could think of times in my life when people look at me, death of a father, how do you have that peace? And I tell them that Christ offers a peace this world can't understand. And I can honestly tell you that I have that peace. So he offers rest, and he offers physical rest and spiritual rest. Truth. He began teaching them many things. He wasn't just thinking about them eating fish. He was thinking about their salvation, their eternity. Now, the people's motives may have been different. They may have been there to see the healing. They may have been there for the food, because obviously they were excited about Jesus. They even viewed him as a king, and they wanted to make a king because of the great things they did. And they didn't realize he was a king. He just wasn't a king in the earthly sense. He was the king of this world. He was the king of heaven. He was God, and they didn't realize that. But Jesus was preaching truth. And as we said before, he met their physical needs. In Mark 34 through 37, we see he sent them away to go into surrounding country and villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. But Jesus answered, "You give them something to eat." And he provided. He healed the sick. In John 6:2, "Then a great multitude followed him because they saw his signs which he performed on those who were diseased. He provided food, he healed. Matthew 14:14, we see, and when Jesus went out and saw the great multitude, he was moved with compassion for them and he healed the sick. Again, there's the word compassion, but in this sense, he's providing healing, physical healing. And as I mentioned before, he provided the food in excess. And lastly, in this segment, I'd just like to talk about the spiritual needs. You know, this points us to the cross. Not only does Jesus provide for these people physically, we're provided for physically. We read in Matthew 6 that if we put his kingdom first, he provides for us. You know, he talks about clothing, talks about food, things we need. He is our provider. But he taught the kingdom of God. And that's the greatest spiritual need of all. That's the greatest spiritual need of people you see who we become annoyed with. You know, the disciples, when they see these people coming, I'm sure if you're tired, you're like, man, I don't want to deal with this. And Jesus didn't think that way. Jesus said, come, because he knew that they needed not just physical, but spiritual healing. So, and then moving through this quickly, Zach, but we're going to get in here. We know that Jesus satisfies. He provided food and satisfied the crowd's physical needs for food. He did not need the little boy with five loaves. We see that in John 6. And says that the boy had five loaves and two fish. He didn't need that. In John 6:11, we see, and Jesus took the loaves, and when he gave thanks, he distributed them to disciples and then to those sitting down, and likewise, they ate as much fish as they wanted. He just didn't satisfy. He satisfied. I mean, if you think about, God could have provided that fish any way he wanted to. I was wondering, you know, he had earlier gave the disciples power to go out and heal and do stuff, and he told them to, you feed them. I just wonder the context of that, if he was saying, you know, you feed them. But he satisfied them physically. In Colossians 2, 9 through 10, we see, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, who is the head of principality and power. Jesus is the visible expression of God, and he was bringing the crowd everything they needed physically and spiritually. However, the next morning, we find in one gospel, John 6:26-27, as they have a conversation on the day after this feeding, he said, Jesus answered them, said, most assuredly I say to you, you do not seek me, not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has sent him his seal on him. They were satisfied with food. Jesus is telling them that I'm much more satisfying than food. I provide you eternal life. You know, he's pointing toward the cross. I just think about who Christ is. Philippians 2:8. And when being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and he became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. That's God in the flesh. That's love. That's a person with compassion. That's a person pointing people towards Christ. That's a person that satisfies. In Matthew 20:28, we see, just as the Son of Man did not come to be saved, but to serve and give his life of a ransom for many. Think about that. You know, we often hear people talk about God being a God of love, and then they always debate, how could a righteous, holy God allow such a thing to happen? And I usually think, how could a holy, righteous God allow me to exist on this earth being the way I am? The truth is Christ dying on the cross is love in its greatest form. That's who Christ was. And now pointing towards us, and as we hear these words and we think about this, I think about a verse out of James. I'm going to ask a few questions, and I'm going to read this verse. Are we obedient to the commands of Jesus? Are we doers of the word? Do we see people with an agenda like D.L. Moody? Or do we be, I just think of practical everyday matters. How many of us drive down the road? And I used to drive faster, I drive slower now. People get mad. Just the small things in life. And you never know when you're going to cross that person's path. We are to be compassionate. We are to have a kingdom agenda. And of course we read in James 1:22, it's not our works that saves us, but it's the display of the fruit of the God in our life that we love others. And it says, be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. So, do we recognize the physical and spiritual needs of others? Or do we strive to live like Christ, being more sensitive to those needs? I always think of the adage, a problem identifier, not a problem solver. You know? Christ didn't disidentify a problem. Christ took the initiative to meet the need with a kingdom agenda. Are we like D.L. Moody? Do we see souls when we look at others? Or are we get caught up in the hustle bustle of life, never given much thought to anybody else's salvation? You know, so, and I think every one of us could raise our hands being honest. We don't always view people like that. But the truth is God loves them and died for them. I mean, that's what John 3:16 tells us. He's loved the world. He gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish. He loved the world. So, again, this is brief, but you know what I took out of this lesson was just not the miracle of Jesus. I took out how we should be compassionate, how we should look at the provision of others physically and spiritually, and how we could point them towards the cross knowing that Jesus Christ satisfies. Because without Christ, we're only going to go one of two places when we leave this world. And that's it. And I know I have loved ones. I have family. I have friends. They don't have Christ. It breaks my heart.